And now we have our Bible reading for this morning, and Michael will read it for us. Thank you, Michael.
This wonderful passage you will find on page 696 of the Church Bibles. It's Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Very familiar to most of us. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the root of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and a young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Thank you, Michael. I think there's no doubt that God gave the prophets a kind of holy imagination and able to kind of depict things so vividly and so creatively. This morning we're thinking about hope. Hope is an interesting word, isn't it? We might say, for example, I hope it doesn't rain today. We might say that quite often, actually. I hope it doesn't rain today. Or I hope my team wins. Okay, your team didn't win. I hope I get the job. Or I hope the person I have a crush on will go out with me. I hope the results of my biopsy will not be serious. Or I hope 2026 will be a better year than 2025. Or I hope I live to see retirement. We're always hoping for something, aren't we? And we often use hope in that way. But the truth is, we have very little or any control over those things that we are hoping for. If we're hoping it's not going to rain, well, it's not in our hands, is it? But when you see hope mentioned in the Bible, it's not that kind of wishful thinking. It's not a kind of simple optimism. In the Bible, hope is something certain, something strong, solid. So here's a definition of hope. Hope is a confident expectation that is rooted in the promises of God. Yeah? Hope is a confident expectation, and it is rooted in the promises of God. That is so different from wishful thinking or simple optimism. So it's not about being positive or looking on the bright side of life. It's much, much more than that, much deeper than that. Now, we believe God is real, don't we? I don't think we would be here otherwise. We believe God is real, and we believe when God speaks, he always speaks the truth. Now, God cannot lie. That would go completely against God's character. And so when God speaks, he speaks the truth. We can trust what he says. And so our hope is a confident expectation rooted in the promises of God. And from our vantage point, we can look back through hundreds, if not thousands, of years of history and see how God has been faithful to his promises. And this morning we're going to look at one of those promises. It comes in Isaiah chapter 11. So let me read the opening verse. So this is Isaiah speaking. He says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." So perhaps the first question to ask from this verse is, who is Jesse? Maybe you know about Jesse from the Bible. He was the father of David. We know David as King David. David had seven brothers and two sisters, so a large family. And David was the youngest of the brothers. He was a kind of forgotten brother, the one who had no or very little significance. You remember when the prophet Samuel was sent by God to anoint the future king? Well, Jesse has all the brothers lined up, apart from David, who's out in the fields looking after the sheep. You know, it would never be David. You don't want to, there's no point bringing David in. And yet David was to be the king of Israel. And God made a promise to David that there would always be a king on the throne from his family line. There would always be a king on the throne from his family line. Now we have to remember when Isaiah makes this promise, God gives Isaiah to communicate this promise, it didn't look lightly. It looked like there was no hope of this promise continuing. Why do I say that? Well, as we mentioned last week, the Assyrian army, who are the major power in the world, really, their army is fast approaching little Israel. And not with good intentions either. They're going to wipe them pretty much off the face of the map. They actually completely destroy the northern kingdom. And we never hear about the 10 tribes in the northern part of Israel again. They're wiped off the map forever. Two tribes are left in the south. Do we know who they were? Judah and Benjamin. Thank you. Yeah, Judah and Benjamin. And by the way, they're in big trouble as well. They basically become a kind of vassal state of Assyria. And then 150 years later, they get conquered by the Babylonians and they're taken into captivity for a period of, I think it was 70 years. So Isaiah makes this promise, this is what Israel looks like as a nation. There you have it. They're like a dead tree stump. No hope, no expectations. No, the glory days of David and his son Solomon, they're just like a distant memory. They are long forgotten. and long gone. You know, there are lots of ancient people groups who once existed but now no longer exist. Who have just been, you know, they didn't survive, their line didn't survive, maybe because of war or famine or disease or whatever. And that is where the Hebrew people are heading. Do you remember the words we used or referred to last week from chapter 8 in Isaiah, which vividly captures the plight of this nation of Israel? I'll reread it for you from chapter 8, verses 21 to 22. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. And then they will be thrust into utter darkness. God's people are in a very, very dark place, as Isaiah makes this promise. What does God say? Let's just remind us again. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. So here's the picture. God is saying that through Isaiah, God is saying that out of the barrenness and the hopelessness and the nothingness that you're in, the mess that you're in, will come hope, fruitfulness. Death will come where, life will come where there is death. This is a picture of hope in a messed up world. When I was looking for a tree image or a picture of a stump, and as you can imagine, there are hundreds, if not thousands, when you start Googling on the internet. I was really quite drawn to this one. This one really grabbed my attention. You know, because it looks very simple, doesn't it? Very, a single shoot. And it made me think about areas in my own life that are barren, that are lifeless, and maybe areas that God wants to breathe hope, where God wants to grow fruit. And I want to encourage you to hold this image in your mind. In fact, I want you to leave this morning with this image. It's a picture of hope in a messed up world. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. See, the Apostle Paul also refers to this stump. So let me read to you from Romans chapter 15, verses 12 to 13. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I think these have to be some of the most beautiful words in the Bible about hope. And it all comes from this image of a kind of dead stump. And Paul applies it not only to Jews, but to Gentiles, to people like you and me. And it's interesting that Paul connects hope with peace and joy. I'm sure you can see that in what he says. See, hope is future orientated, isn't it? It's something we anticipate, something we look forward to. Our hope, when it is in Christ, what flows from that hope is joy and peace. And that is especially the case when we go through difficult times. And who doesn't go through difficult times in life? We all do, don't we? Life's not easy, and yet we can have joy and peace because we have hope in the true one and true God. So despite our circumstances, despite whatever they may be, we can still have joy and peace because we have hope. And I love how Paul calls God the God of hope. Isn't that lovely? The God of hope. Now, in the Roman world, which was a polytheistic world, where there were many gods and many goddesses. No, you had the goddess of fertility, the god of war, the god of the harvest, all sorts of gods. But Paul refers to the God of hope, the one we can trust, the one that we can rely upon. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From this barrenness, from this mess that you find yourself in, from this sense of hopelessness, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Isn't that interesting? It will bear fruit. What fruit? Well, joy. And peace. We might even think of the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All the things that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us because of our hope in Jesus. I wanted to go back to this image again and just put it up. What does that remind you of? Sorry?
The sycamore gap.
The sycamore gap. Yes. You see, we all have places that look like that in our lives, don't we? Places that are barren, places where there's a lack of fruitfulness. Places of pain, maybe. Places of disappointment. Maybe places of regret. We can all identify, I think, with that image. For there's nothing growing. See, when I see this picture, we can perhaps put up the next one, sorry. When I see this picture, I'm reminded that in God's economy, nothing is ever truly dead. Nothing is ever truly dead. Nothing is ever truly beyond hope. Because even out of the dryness and the barrenness of your life and my life, with God there is hope. And that was God's message to God's people 700 years BC that Isaiah brought. They could see no hope. They were desperate. They were hungry. They were cursing God. They were in a right mess. But this is a picture of hope. Perhaps hope is no more powerfully demonstrated than in the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the tomb, 3 days, all hope vanished, gone forever. Everything's ended. But he rose, didn't he? And hope burst into life again amongst God's people. No matter how barren we might feel, in whatever area of our life, take this image home with you. Nothing is ever beyond hope with God. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. When you think there's no hope, from its roots, a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Lord, we thank you for that amazing promise that you made to your people all those years ago, that a shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse, that from its roots it would bear fruit. Lord, thank you that in that very picture language, we understand that to mean Jesus. A shoot would come up from the stump of Jesse. From hopelessness would come hope. Where there is no life, life would come. Lord, thank you that today we understand, not only in our heads, but in our hearts, that you came to bring life. Lord, thank you for the life we have in Jesus, for the joy we have in Jesus, for the peace that we have in Jesus. Lord, we bless you. We thank you that we've been able just to remember what it cost you for us to be the beneficiaries of the fruit that's come from that shoot, from that stump. Lord, we bless you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for making it possible through your sacrifice. Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.